Bible is clear on what a true biblical church is. And in a time and age where usually when people come to a church and they think they have a little checklist sometimes, some of those things sometimes are, does the church have good parking? Does the church have good kids programs? And maybe is the pastor really hip and cool? Maybe that's on their list as well. But these are real things that people are looking for in churches. But are any of them actually biblical? I understand that a couple of those are probably good things. But are those what we look at when we look at a biblical church? In a culture that seems to have an abundance of what many people called church dating or church hoppers, maybe you've heard that term before, where some people pick parts of a church. They say, I'll go here for the worship, or I'll go here for the kids programs because this thing isn't really good here or this thing isn't very good there. We need to understand that church dating is really not a biblical way of looking at the church. But since this is really becoming the norm, maybe more so in cities, but I would also say in the rural places as well, because there are churches very close to each other at times. We need to look at what the Bible says. And today, as you can see in your bulletin, we're talking about church membership. This is the first topic in this True Marks of a Biblical Church series. And I want, before we even go into this topic of membership, just to make it clear that church membership is very important to me, but it isn't an issue of salvation. Nowhere in the Bible says that in order to be saved, one must become a member of a local church. It doesn't say that. But it does say that we must believe in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And if the church is the bride of Christ, if it is the body of Christ, shouldn't we as Christians somehow be involved in it? Think about that. You can see a quote here. David Platt says in his book, Follow Me, that to surrender your life to his commands, to the commands of Jesus, is to commit your life to his church. Unfortunately, many people today claim to be Christians but don't or are not involved at a church, at a local church. I know people my age, people older than me, people even younger than me that say this, I love Jesus, but just not a fan of the church. Loving Jesus, but not the church. Just think about that as we go on. Sort of a strange question, but very popular, and possibly becoming more and more popular. Loving Jesus, but not the church. Maybe you can write that down in your notes, or just think about that. Because we need to understand what the culture is saying about church, what many people are saying about church today, before we even go into what the Bible says about the church. But I mentioned the bride of Christ, I mentioned the body of Christ. And firstly, the bride of Christ is a very interesting way of looking at the church. Let me illustrate it this way before we even look at the PowerPoint behind me. Now, if someone came up to me and said, Michael, I love hanging out with you. I love you. Love having coffee with you. Love going out to a movie with you. But you know what? I just really can't stand your wife. She's terrible. I can't stand being around her at all. Husbands in the room, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the blood boiling inside of you, thinking, how dare you say that about my bride? You probably want to have at least a very strong conversation with that person, correct? A few head nods, yes, strong head nod. So let me ask you this before we enter the passage in 1 Corinthians. This is the question. If the church is the bride, as it says in the Bible, how do we think God feels when we reject her bride? This is what many people do. Maybe you have done this. But we need to remember that the church is the bride of Christ. And sometimes we don't even reject the bride of Christ. Sometimes we say we'll be members. Sometimes we'll say we'll be committed. We show up once a month, twice a month, and then we go play hockey the rest of the Sundays. I understand the pressure of sports. understand the pressure of things to do on Sundays. I understand that many of you don't work 5 days a week, but you work 6 days or 7 days a week, 24/7 in some seasons. Am I correct? Some seasons. But here's the reality. If we have time for, as many of us maybe do, watch a late night TV show on Saturdays or even Fridays, go to a late night party, or take time for something like that on the weekend, we can take time for the bride of Christ, to be a part of the bride, the body, on a Sunday for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Think about that. The church is also called the body of Christ. And I love this one. Here's another illustration. Okay, husbands in the room, I have your attention. If your wife went up to you, look at your wife. If your wife went up to you and said, honey, or whatever she calls you. Honey, we'll go with honey right now. Honey, I love you. This is what she says. But I just can't stand your body. Honey, I love you, but I just can't stand your body. Wouldn't be the greatest line for Valentine's Day or your birthday or whichever. But this is what many people do today to the body of Christ. They say, I love Jesus, I love God, but I don't like the church. I can't stand the body of Christ. That's what they're saying. They claim to be involved sometimes, but when something happens in the church, they run away. We've talked a little bit today about people suffering in our church. People who have family members who are in the hospital, or maybe you today are suffering. You see, the body of Christ means this. If you are hurting, we all hurt together. If one of us cries out for Jesus, we all cry out for Jesus. If one of us celebrates, we all celebrate. But unfortunately, this doesn't happen in many local churches today. Saul on the road to Damascus. I love this imagery. Maybe you're familiar with the story. Saul on the road to Damascus gets a bright light shone on his face. Jesus says this as Saul is staggered. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? We know that Saul wasn't actually hurting Jesus. Jesus had since gone up to heaven. But Saul was persecuting the church. He was persecuting Christians, the body of Christ. So when the church is hurt, God is hurt, because the church is the body of Christ. Jesus was saying this to Saul, when you mess with them, you mess with me. Think about that. When you mess with them, you mess with me. So we've looked at the bride of Christ, we've looked at the body of Christ, we've looked at a little bit what the church calls the church biblically, but we need to understand, firstly, why we're even talking about membership. I mean, isn't just membership something man-made? Isn't it something that we just do to vote, to get quorum in meetings? Maybe some of us think that way. Unfortunately, for much of the past century, the church in general has done a pretty poor job of explaining church membership to people, to non-Christians, to Christians. And the goal for the next few minutes of your time will just be to explain that this really isn't a man-made thing. It is from the Bible, and what biblical church membership really is. In my short time living, I'm still quite young, I've seen many churches, unfortunately, make church membership something that it really isn't biblically. It's not just voting, but it's much greater than that, as we'll see very soon. Maybe you're here today and you believe that church membership really should just be voting. Well, why should it be more than that? Can't I just show up and fulfill quorum and do a little vote? Why should it be more than that? Maybe you're asking yourself that. Well, I thought that way for a long time. As a pastor's kid, as someone who grew up in the church, I thought, what is the point of this? It just seems like they're just here to vote. Maybe you're also thinking, well, you're the pastor, so of course you want people to become members in the church. Yes, that is true. But you know what? I feel very strong about what the Bible says about this topic. And if we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, we need to take it very seriously. And I love being involved in the church. Always have, really. But if anybody really has an excuse for not being involved in the church, it's probably people like pastors' kids who seem to rebel or seem to not become a part of the church. But God did take a hold of me as He continues to work in my life. I also understand the greater temptation to not be involved at a church at all. I know people that have been hurt by a church. Maybe you're here today and you've been hurt by the church before. Maybe church leadership has hurt you in some way. Maybe it's someone in a church. In a society where people can go on YouTube for what they say is church, in a time where you can bring up really any great preacher online, someone who has far much more experience than your young pastor does, the temptation to do this is great. But the temptation is real every week to just do that, to stay home. You can bring up even your favorite song on YouTube and not complain about the songs that the worship team put together. Many of us claim that we love Jesus, but we don't need the church. And this past week, I was listening to Shine FM. People listen to Shine FM in Calgary? We can get it out here. If you're familiar with this radio station, the Christian radio station, safe and fun for the whole family, that's what they say. On the radio station, they have people that review their station. They do a little audio review, and they say how much they love Shine FM. One person said this past week. I love you guys. The music is great. The people are great. I can just have church in my car every day. What happens when we hear things like this? Sometimes we complain and say, those people are just lazy. They just stay home in their pajamas. Listen to Shine FM, maybe. Listen to a preacher online. Or we just ignore it, go on our way, keep on driving. We think nothing much of it. But we do need to recognize that there are people in our culture that say these things and act this way. My heart just breaks for these people because they are missing out on the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. We need to understand what God has planned for His church. Jesus says He will build His church. So what does that mean for the church? I've also heard that when asked about church membership specifically, they say, I'm a part of the universal church. Have you heard of that? A little, maybe hands up. I don't need to be a part of the local church. I am a part of the universal church. Now, I don't want to take away from that in some cases. I don't want to take away that you have repented and trust in Jesus for your salvation, and thus you are a part of the universal church. But we're going to see that church isn't just universal. We're going to see what it really means. Matthew 18 is a great example, talking about church discipline, conflict, sin, dealing with that in the church. Matthew 18:17, Jesus says, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, this may just be me, but it seems a little silly if this just meant the universal church. To tell it to the universal church, a sin, I don't think we're meant to tell every single Christian in the world in this case. But rather, Jesus, even before local churches were being planted, were being made, commands in the topic of church discipline that it is to happen within a local church. Various parts of the book of Acts, of course, tell of local churches being made. We know of house churches in many of Paul's journeys, as we see in his epistles. In all of this, we must remember that the call to be a part of a church is not just to be a part of the universal church, but part of a local one as well. If you still have your Bibles open, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 12 to 27. And I want you to while you're reading this, whether it's in the back of me or in front of you, try and count how many times you see these two words, part and body. That's part and body. Maybe you can count in your head, or maybe you can write it down. Part and body. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Paul says this, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We see here in this passage that Paul is not speaking or writing to the universal church. He's writing to the local church in Corinth. Paul writes this in Romans 12, 4-5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We see here biblically it's crucial to be a member of a local body. If you're a Christian, a dedicated follower of Jesus, if you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus, the call is to be a member of a local body, a local church. There are many of you probably today that have been coming here for years, but have not put in that you are a member of this church, that you want to do that. We've learned biblically that being a member of a church means that you are a part of a body. And I challenge and encourage you to take this next step of obedience in the Christian faith. If you want to do this, you can come talk to me or any of the elders as well. But next week is the 25th anniversary in this building. A lot of things have changed in 25 years. Yeah, a few head nods. You have changed. People around you have changed. Cremona maybe has changed a little bit. Places around us have changed. And yet we need to remember that God doesn't change. Nor does his mission for us. The mission and God never changes. His character remains the same and his mission for his church remains the same. To show God's glory through making disciples, making fully devoted followers of Jesus. God's expectations for his church will never change. I hope you know that people are still lost. Maybe some of you in here are thinking about, is Jesus really real? There are people around us that we see on a weekly basis, at our work, that are lost, that don't know Jesus. Jesus does say that he will build his church. But that doesn't mean that we need to sit back, sit on the couch, Take our bag of chips and just watch. We are co-laborers in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. There are a couple challenges, of course, that can come out of this challenge today, this message today, for us as a body or for us as followers of Jesus. If you are a member of this church, the challenge for you is to refocus. Why did I become a member? What does it mean for me to be a member of this body? We've already talked about the biblical reality of church membership, things about the body and the bride. We think about those illustrations about the husband and the wife. Although we laughed, they are true in many cases. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians and Romans about members, about bodies, about parts. I don't know about you, but in 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, I found 19 mentions of the word part, 17 mentions of the word body. In the English Standard Version, there's also mentions of the word member, a more literal translation. We need to remember as a body, if somebody is rejoicing, we rejoice with them. If somebody is crying out, we cry out with them. Next week, we're celebrating 25 years in this building. But let's reflect on us being a body. We need to think about this. We need to think about this. Our challenge as a church body is to actually be the body of Christ. Although that might seem silly, it is a challenge because sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are to be a body. If one of us suffers, we suffer with them. If one of us rejoices, we rejoice with them. A body made up of different members with different gifts, strengths, weaknesses. A body that encourages, challenges, and submits to God's word every day. We're going to be doing this until the summer, this little short series. But I want us to be open to what God is challenging us to do and what God is doing in our midst. And I pray that we can be humble through our actions. They will bring glory to the Father. Isn't that the hope? Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the challenge and the encouragement that comes from your word. We understand that your word has the power to do that, to rebuke and to challenge and all of that. Lord, we thank you that you will build your church. That is the truth. But Lord, may we not just look back or sit back, and just watch. Lord, may we be serious about the Great Commission. May we be serious about being a body and what it means to be a member of a body, a local church. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.